Back on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by our friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. I'm Rock Onushi, and he on the hotline is longtime sportscaster John Telich, talking some Browns football here, Cleveland Browns football, that is. They are coming off the bye week. They're getting ready to head to New Orleans to take on the Saints this Sunday, a 1 o'clock kick. So, JT, as always, an honor to be joined by you here, my friend. And boy, the Browns on the bye week, look, not to be overly pessimistic about it, but it almost felt nice. You get the little break. We're all watching the Cavs. They're undefeated at the time of this recording here on a late Wednesday morning, and back to reality when those Browns kick off again this Sunday, huh?
Yeah, I do want to give a huge shout out to the Cavs. I mean, this is just spectacular to watch this team play, and how unselfish they play. And not saying they were unselfish. They were not unselfish when the previous coach was there. There just seemed to be a different way they're playing the game. Maybe that extra pass, maybe better spacing, maybe better movement. I don't know. They're fun to watch, and kudos to the Cavs for what they're doing.
Yeah, they are lights out right now. Again, undefeated at the time of our recording, and we'll see how they fare against the 76ers later on. But we could talk some Brownies here. A couple of tidbits and nuggets from the bye week. I guess first and foremost, Andrew Berry, general manager, his comments on Deshaun Watson. Very lukewarm and non-committal, JT. What did you make of what Mr. Berry had to say about Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think he's keeping those cards real close to the deck because, I mean, it's very obvious that they really shouldn't go any further with him. But even the bigger thing, the giant elephant in the room is that contract and how do you move on from it? And so much cap casualties that will come into play if they indeed do. But, yeah, it sounded like, you know, let's talk about this when we can talk about it. And I understand, you know, him having to play things that way, but I would be really surprised if he played again. I think I've said that a few times, and I'm not the only one to say so. So we'll see. We'll see how things spin out in the next 8 weeks, because we're basically halfway through the year. What we thought was going to be a spectacular, great year with the promise that this roster brought, most extensive roster in NFL history, and it just hasn't panned out. So we'll see what happens.
We certainly will, and that's one of those I think we'll just kind of have to cross that Deshaun Watson bridge whenever we get there, and I think what most of us assume will end up coming to fruition. But again, we'll have to table that for the time being. JT, in our pre-show notes, you sent me an interesting list here titled Players to Evaluate, and a couple of different names stood out to me, so I'll just kind of turn this over to you.
Yeah.
A couple of different guys that you just kind of wanted to share your opinion on, and maybe, you know, questions about what the Browns do with these guys moving forward.
Well, DeJuan Jones, I think we've discussed him in the past. He can be the answer at left tackle. I really think he can. I think he got a wake-up call a couple of weeks ago, so we'll see if this continues forward. I do worry a guy that big with that much poundage that he's carrying around can be susceptible, could injure himself in one way, shape, or form. So I think the fact that there's some promise there, let's keep going in that direction. And then, Tillman, I think, is impressed in the last three games. He's averaging more than 12 yards a catch, and that's what you want to get from a top-of-the-line receiver for your team, he and Judy being their top two receivers. So let's see how that goes going forward. I understand one of those games he had a good Jameis, and then one of those games he had the other Jameis. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I don't know how long they play Jameis. I wonder how the front office views these next eight games. They certainly can't sit here and tank, which everybody seemed to have wanted them to do. Can't do that. You just can't. Because of how the schedule will play out next year. And I think the big factor is, you know, the Haslams have to sell a stadium. They have to sell what they're doing going forward. And you just can't tell the populace that we want this brand new playpen, but our football team is the worst. You can't do that. So, you know, I don't know how long they're going to go with Jameis, but let's assume there's going to be a few games where DTR. And I think that all depends on the front office and how they play going forward, with them going down the Saints to take on the Saints this week. I want to see more of Isaiah McGuire at the defensive, the left defensive end spot opposite Mr. Garrett. I want to see how he competes. Of course, have Oboe over there as well, but you know, Oboe is more of a situational pass rusher kind of guy. We'll see there. Mm-hmm. I like Cam Mitchell. And then what do you do with Luke Whipler? You know, he got hurt quite a while ago, and they have some questions going forward, you know, on the offensive line. How is it going to be constituted next year? Who's really going to be on the offensive line next year? So you're not going to be able to evaluate Luke Whipler right now because obviously he's hurt. But going forward, there's a kid to keep your eyes on. So just a few folks as they move forward. So many questions offensively, Rocco, and obviously not as many on the defensive side of the football. And I think that's based on how well the team has played as well.
Certainly some names to keep an eye on. And as far as the tank job goes, JT, I think you nailed it. You sold 1-31 on this fan base once, and I don't think you can get away with it again. But we will see how the second half plays out. Hey, Jed Wills, man, oh man, some intriguing comments from him, to say the least, saying he made a quote-unquote business decision to sit against the Ravens after he had missed the previous week, ends up kind of losing his job as a result. And man, what a mess with this situation, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't look good for him, and I think a lot of the entire Browns, you know, football populace hasn't been a big fan of his play, or maybe even sometimes his perceived level of effort on plays, and so this was a bad thing to say. Now, I can go back 3 or 4 years when every week after Baker Mayfield got hurt, you know, I think he worked real hard to be able to play in the game, but there would come a time before the game whether or not, you know, maybe even business decision there, should play in the game. And he, of course, wanted to play. Why wouldn't a guy want to play? But in many ways, those decisions to play in those games after injuring his shoulder were not smart business decisions, because it led to an unstable thing. It led to, a little bit of friction between, you know, the higher-ups and then the quarterback and then receivers and the quarterback, and it turned out to be a mess. And next thing you know, Baker Mayfield is on other teams, and now this year he's with Tampa Bay. So it's a weird situation. It's probably something that, does go on where people think in those terms, but you just don't, you know, come out and say that. That's all. I think you keep those thoughts to yourself. Or maybe just say, I'm working myself back from an injury or whatever, and I'm just going to keep myself out of the media for now.
Yeah, not the greatest selection of wording there from Jed Will, so we'll see what kind of comes of that situation, JT. So, again, that brings us to this Sunday as the Browns head to New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Saints started red hot 2-0, hit an absolute wall after that, did get a win this past Sunday over the Falcons 20-17, so, you know, a team that may be in as much disarray as the Browns right now would be those New Orleans Saints. What do we make of this matchup on Sunday?
Well, you know, they fire their coach, and they've got Darren Rizzi involved and in charge of the team right now. There's still Carr in the equation there at the quarterback position. They traded away Marshon Lattimore. Of course, everybody from our area remembers Marshon as a great player at Glenville and the Ohio State University. But this is one of those games, here we come back to it, Rocco, where, you know, you're on the road. I know it's going to be a big destination game for a lot of Browns fans that had plans before the season kind of went in the direction that it did to go to New Orleans. It's a good reason just to go enjoy the city and for a couple of days and then go to a football game on Sunday. So all of those folks, I'm sure, made business decisions to keep the trip, but just not place a big priority emotionally on what's going to happen on the field on Sunday. I don't know. I have just a weird feeling about this one. This is Jameis going back, you know, to one of his old haunting grounds, as it were, and probably good vibes on his part. A lot of problems with the offense for the Saints. The Browns still having a pretty good defense. I'm going to go in a low-scoring affair. Let's go 21-17 Browns and see if by any chance I have making any kind of sense here trying to prognosticate the Brownies going forward.
What a business decision by you, my friend, taking the Browns in New Orleans over the Saints. Very much possible. We'll see if the Browns can get over that 20-point mark this weekend again as they take on the Saints. This should certainly be one of those more interesting matchups across the league, no question about that. Again, this has been From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. All right, JT, we'll table the Browns for now. Let's talk some high school football regional semifinal time, the Sweet 16, if you will, for our local high school athletes. Plenty of Northeast Ohio teams still alive. We have three more games on WEOL this week. We'll be out at Strongsville to take on to take in Avon and Wadsworth. We'll be out at Brooklyn to take in Columbia and Kirtland. And then our Stream 3 game is out at Bellevue between Highland and Anthony Wayne. So three great games there, JT. But man, oh man, getting down to the nitty-gritty here in mid-November.
Yeah, I'm excited in Division One to see how Menor can play this week. They looked good last week in their game against Strongsville. They have McKinley, and they're playing that game at Medina, so let's keep our eyes open there. Of course, out your way in Elyria, Perrysburg is going to host Eds, or they're going to play Eds, rather, and that will be at Elyria. Their stadium. So that will be one to look for. Those Walsh Warriors just continue to play great football. They have Fitch this week, and they're going to play, you know, they're going to be Smurfs on the turf there at Ravenna, that blue turf that they have. So that will be a fun one. Holden, Nordonia. Of course, if Holden wins and Walsh wins, then you'll have a rematch next week. And I would expect that to happen. I think Walsh and Holden are going to win this week and to set up that rematch. So looking forward to that. Avon, I've always said, overall, the most balanced program in the area right now, playing real good football. They have Wadsworth. That's going to be a real tough game in Strongsville that you alluded to. And in Highland and Anthony Wayne in Bellevue. And Division III is kind of curious here because Ursuline just throttled Villa Angela St. Joe's last week. Now when they played in the regular season, it was a tight game. But this time around, down their way, that game was not even close. Ursuline just smoked VASJ, and they have the Green Men of Aurora. That's going to take place at North Canton Hoover Stadium. Gilmore versus CVCA. That will be in Twinsburg. Benedictine and Padua, a couple of parochial schools at Serpentini Stadium there in North Royalton. And I'm going to take this game in. I know Friday night touchdown. You get your high school football coverage tonight, Friday night on Fox 8 during the 10 o'clock show with PJ and John Sable. And I'm going to this game just as a fan, as it were, just to watch a good high school game. It'll be Lake Catholic against Glenville. Can Glenville keep the good times going, trying to get another state championship in Division IV, or will those Lake Catholic Cougars spoil their postseason? That's at Painesville, Riverside High, then Perry and Streetsboro. Kenny Carman's going to keep an eye on that one for sure. That'll be taking place in Burton's in Berkshire, at Burton Stadium. Perkins and Napoleon's a game to watch. Manchester and Poland Seminary in Clyde takes place. And then you mentioned the Kirtland game against Columbia. Kirtland was moving on all cylinders when I saw them last week. That was one of the couple games that I covered. And then Warren, JFK, and Cuyahoga Heights. Cuyahoga Heights, their coach, Coach Black, continues to have his teams go deep into the playoffs, so kudos to them. But a great slate of games this week as we're back into the Sweet 16 in each of the regions across the fair state of Ohio.
Yeah, it's a tremendous matchups. Wouldn't have it any other way at this point of the postseason. And JT, before I let you go real quick, I don't know if you saw this from the Max Preps Twitter/X account, but they released their top 10 toughest playoff brackets across the country, across the entire country. They took what they thought were the top 10 toughest playoff brackets. Twice Ohio is featured in this list. At the 7 spot, they have Ohio Division II, and then at the 9 spot, they have Division I here in Ohio. So as we've talked about all year, JT, especially obviously with Division I, right, but especially with Division II, these playoff brackets can be absolutely brutal for some of these teams trying to march their way to the state championship game.
I think that's a great designation by Max Preps, and I think they know what they're talking about. And there's just so many regions in the state and the higher and the bigger schools, if you will, where the competition is just really brutal. And, D2, like in the one region I mentioned, with Hoban and Walsh potentially meeting again, that's a tough one. And, of course, when every year we see how Avon kind of works their way out of their region and gets themselves into a state semifinal position, that's no small feat each week, what Avon's been able to do in the playoffs over the past so many years.
Yeah, it is quite the postseason march for anybody trying to make a deep run. So, no, I'm with you. I thought that was perfectly put by Max Preps. Obviously, you got some Texas divisions in there, some Georgia divisions. But good to see Ohio represented on that list, not once but twice. So, good stuff there. All right, JT, I'll let you go. But, again, Browns at Saints this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Buckeyes looking to keep it rolling this weekend as well. And, of course, regional semifinals this Friday night for our high school football friends. So, JT, a pleasure as always, my friend. Looking forward to the action this weekend, and we'll recap it all next time.
I look forward to it. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you then.